Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Rise and shine. It's 7 a.m. on Saturday.
Hello, Jean. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Okay, I'm one of those women that uses tons of hairspray, and I have damaged our laminate door in the bathroom.
But how does your hair look?
And you've got the one and only Mr. Fix-It tuned in to your radio.
Give me some driftwood, and I'll whittle you a window.
That's right. Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show.
It's not the tool. It's the man behind it.
Right here on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
7:10 in the morning. Hi, everybody. Lou Manfredini here with you at the Mr. Fix-It Show. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Rogers Roofing, Ace Hardware, and Permaseal Basement Systems. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. When you call in and you say, hi, I'd like to talk to Lou, first say, happy birthday, Lindsay, because it's Lindsay's birthday today.
Yay!
Happy birthday, Lindsay.
Thank you.
She's 29 again. Wow. I can now say that because you weren't 29 when we started working together.
I remember growing up and thinking when people would say that, it was like, ugh.
Oh, those old people saying that again.
Those funny jokes. And I'm totally doing them.
That's what happens. We get older. Yep. Good morning, Veronica. Good morning, Sam. Nice to see you, too.
Good morning.
It's going to be a busy weekend.
It is. I know. I hear it. Lots going on today. Lots of street closures and I was leaving the ACE convention yesterday, and the planes were flying overhead. It was like a war zone to hear the I was on some conference call in my car, and is everything okay? I go, oh, yeah, it was just like a fighter jet going over the top of my head.
This is my favorite weekend of the summer. I think there's just so – I mean, unfortunately –
Because it's your birthday?
Well, that too. But it's just – I just feel like there's so much energy normally. The sun's always shining, and it's always – love hearing those jets fly overhead.
We had a nice time yesterday. Lindsay and I had a chance to sit in for Bill and Wendy just for a couple of hours in the morning, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
It was really fun.
Yeah, nice to work with you in that capacity.
So, an announcement, this morning show.
Bill and Wendy are no longer here. It was funny when we got here. I saw all their stuff boxed up right on the outside with taped up stuff. And I'm just kidding. Nope.
So you two pretty much co-hosted then.
We did.
Totally.
We did, yeah. And then Elif, the Turkish princess, as I've named her, was the producer for us, did a nice job. So it was good.
I mentioned to Lou it was eerie. I was driving in here yesterday, and I flipped on the radio, and I thought I heard Lou's voice. Like, why is Lou there?
I know.
And then in my head automatically thought, is it Saturday?
Yeah, she was like, am I supposed to be at work?
Seriously.
It's happened to all of us.
Yeah, oh, believe me. Yeah, you get those mornings where, and I travel a lot, too, and when sometimes on Saturday mornings, getting up early to come to the show, I will wake up, and it takes me a second to figure out, well, where am I, and what day is it?
I had that this morning. Yeah. I never do that, but this morning I'm like, ooh, am I hosting today? Oh, no, that was yesterday, I think. Yeah. So I'm just producing today.
Yeah, the alarm went off today, and it was one of those mornings where I'm like, could I do the snooze for the 9 minutes? And I'm like, no. So, do you take long showers when you're tired? Anybody? When are you? Well, Lindsay, I know the answer to this.
Very funny.
But are you a shower? Are you a morning showerer? Veronica, when you get up early?
I don't take an extra shower, long shower, just because I'm tired.
Yeah.
Maybe, cold water sometimes will work.
But yeah.
I'm one of these really weird people that as soon as I wake up, I start moving.
You just go.
Yeah. It's like if everybody wasn't asleep, I'd be vacuuming. Mm. Open my eyes and just start doing something.
Yeah, once I get going, that's true.
I take one when I'm stressed out. Growing up, my parents would always make fun of me. They're like, oh, Lindsay's up in the bathtub again. She must have had a hard day at high school or whatever. And still to this day, whenever I'm feeling like, I just go take a shower.
Our daughter Mallory just started high school. They're back at school this couple days, and she came home today. Yesterday was her first full day. And she's sitting at the counter. I go, how was the day? Oh, it's such a long day. I go, really? Oh, I got this double science period and this. And she's going on and on and on. And, yeah, it's a long day. I go, but trust me. The days will get longer.
So. Plus, there's not a worry in the world.
Not yet. Not
when
yet.
When you're in high school.
Not yet.
For most people.
But you don't know that when you're in it, right, Sam?
Correct.
You just don't know it when you're in it. So they're back at school, which is fun. All right, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Our Noodaloo 2 coming up at 7:50 is water in a box. All I'm going to say is it's water in a box with a hose.
How cool is it?
Okay. First of all, you didn't tell me about the picture with the girl in the bikini. I would have bought this thing long ago.
I did. That's what, when you sent it to me, I was like, oh, of course this is why he wants to feature it.
I never saw that till now. So that has nothing to do with this story, other than it's a really nice picture. She's in great shape. She must work out. So that's coming up this morning. And then we're going to talk to the owner of a company based in Chicago that makes tiny homes. Now, you've heard there's a whole trend with these tiny homes, but these are actually, they're RVs, but they look more like a house. Really, I have lots of questions for our guest because I want to talk about aerodynamics and what happens when it's going down the road. I mean, it literally is a house on a trailer.
They kind of remind me of, remember those houses growing up that like the fire safety department was
exactly going to, right. Yeah. Like, okay, kids, here, right. There's a lot of smoke. Drop, and roll. Right? But they're cool looking, and they make them right here in Chicago. So we're gonna learn a little bit about that this morning. But right now, let's talk to Dorothy, who's in Crown Point. Good morning, Dorothy. You're on WGN.
Good morning, and happy birthday to Lindsay.
Thank you, Dorothy.
You're welcome. My concrete driveway is about 65 years old, and it needs to be replaced, and I need a crash course on knowing what I need to do.
Okay.
What kind of concrete do I need to put in? How deep? What about the foundation?
Okay. You ready?
Yep.
So you're going to get a couple of quotes from different contractors, and the things you're going to talk to them about is removing everything that you have.
Right.
And then making sure that you have at least a 4 to 5 inch compacted gravel base.
Yeah, 4 inches is code.
Correct. But 5 is even better.
All right.
Your concrete or your asphalt driveway, whomever's doing the driveway, is only as good as the base that goes underneath it. And
okay.
And that's really the most critical aspect of doing any of that. And so they'll add some stone, you know, some number 6 stone or whatever it is, and that'll get compacted, or they'll use a roller, like a giant roller that a guy drives on, to really get that ground compacted. And they'll add more gravel. Then they're going to pour 4 inches of reinforced concrete. Now, reinforced concrete can be a couple of different things. It can be concrete with a wire mesh or a fiberglass insert, which is a basically a bag of fiberglass fibers that they'll put in into the actual cement truck that mixes in with the concrete to keep it together. Now, if it were me, I would do the metal reinforced, but the thing you want to also talk to them about is a coated metal reinforcement. So if you ever go down the highway, Dorothy, and you're seeing them work, you know, they're pouring concrete, and you see them putting all that steel and that rebar in the concrete.
Yep.
It's green. Have you seen how it's green?
Must be coated.
It's coated. And the coated means this: if I put that iron inside the concrete, it's going to get wet. And when that iron gets wet, as the carbon starts to break down, it puffs up and it gets puffy as it rusts. And when that happens, it breaks the concrete apart. Well, when it's coated, that is almost eliminated. And so the concrete will last longer.
Now,
so
you talked about wire and mesh. What about rebars?
Rebar's great too, but they'll use rebar to connect it to, say, the garage, but within the slab, they use these large rolls that they unroll, and it looks like a giant piece of screen. And that's fine. And then the other thing you want to talk to them about is you want to say to the concrete guy, I want you to pour the concrete, and I want you to mix it wet in the truck.
Yeah.
Now, the meaning behind that is we don't want them to add a ton of water when they're finishing it, because that weakens what's called the cream at the top.
Okay.
Now, it takes longer for that concrete to set up and cure when they do this, but you are going to take an afternoon off, and you're going to spend the time watching your concrete dry.
Okay.
And making sure no kids run over it with their bicycle. But by doing so, you're going to have a concrete walkway that, or driveway rather, that lasts longer, is more resistant to pinning, cracks, and if you do all those things and you get a concrete contractor who knows what they're doing, you're going to get another 65 years, God willing, out of it.
Not in my life.
Well, somebody might.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And, of course, nobody's willing to guarantee that it won't crack.
No, the concrete, nobody will guarantee that. Concrete falls under those three things that we can all count on in life, that we're all going to die someday. We all have to pay taxes, and concrete will crack. But
what about the ratio of concrete to cement to stone?
Well, you know, typically in a concrete driveway, it's called a bag mix. And so the typical bag mix that they will put in there is called a 5-bag mix. So as long as they're quoting that, if they say 6-bag, well, that's a little, you know, that's more like highway level stuff. I don't know that you necessarily need to pay for that. But the 5-bag is what the standard is, and it should be great. Hold on a second. Guess what? We got a new prize. An extra-large premium chef's cutting board made from the finest American maple wood and crafted in the USA exclusively from
The Edge.
The Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom. Experience the Edge at Builder Supply Outlet. Just, where is it?
5 miles east of the Oakbrook Shopping Mall on Cermak Road in Broadview.
There you go. Hang on 1 second. We'll get that information out. It's worth $100. 7:21 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show. We'll be back after these.
This is John Williams. Every Saturday morning, I listen to Lou Manfredini, Mr. Fix-It. And I say to my wife, Brenda, Brenda, we got to do the stuff Lou's talking about. And then every Sunday morning, I say to Brenda, what did we do yesterday?
Hey, I hear that, John Williams. Now back to Lou on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Today I don't feel like
doing anything. 7:25 in the morning, the return of Thomas Jefferson. Yes, it's true. TJ is coming back. We welcome the return of Thomas Jefferson, presented by Conasec and Dillon Trial Attorneys, on Saturday, November 5th at the MAC on the College of DuPage campus. Join WGN Radio and John Williams in a unique live stage show featuring founding father and third president Thomas Jefferson. Just days before the presidential election, hear insights from TJ on what might be in store for us in the next chapter of America's history, and you'll get a chance to ask your own questions, too. Now, the tickets are going fast, so get yours today. Just go to WGNradio.com/events for the link to buy your tickets, or call the Mac box office. The return of Thomas Jefferson is presented by Conasec and Dillon Trial Attorneys. I had a chance to talk to John Williams recently, as he was rubbing it in that he was at the Ishnala Supper Club. And he said that the event that they had with Teddy Roosevelt was a huge success. Bunch of listeners came out and just had a ball. And I believe there is some audio and or video up at WGNradio.com. So one of my things that I have never done is attend one of these shows. Have you ever gone to any of these when he talks to the dead presidents?
No, I have not.
Yeah. We need to put that on our list to do, because it just, you know, it's so much fun.
Oh, it sounds like fun.
Right?
Fast. Yeah.
And I said to John, I go, you're becoming the next Garrison Keillor. Do you have any idea who that is?
I do.
All right, good. He's like, really?
Prairie Home Companion.
Right, exactly.
Look at me. I finally knew something.
Amazing.
Oh,
well, you know, you are older now. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. The Mr. Fix-It Show, talking to Steve in Oak Lawn. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Lou. Good morning. Happy birthday, Lindsay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I enjoy your program, and I'm selling a house, and I got a couple fast questions if you got a second.
Yes, sir.
The one would be also with a concrete driveway, but in a garage where it busted up like 3 or 4 inches from the level of the floor.
Okay.
So it's settling, obviously, the floor.
How, when you say it's settling, if you could go and grab it with your hands and pick it up and put it back in place, would you be happy with that?
Well, yeah, but what I'm trying to say, Lou, is that it busted upwards, so it's like 3 inches above one spot where it just like sunk, and it's up high where it cracked.
Okay.
It's like 50 years old, the garage, so that's probably normal, right?
Well, I mean, you know, depending on what the soil condition is underneath there, sure, and you have a couple of options. You could have that jacked up. That was the point I was trying to make with... But if you're telling me it's lifted, you know, it's higher, then that poses a bigger problem, that it might make more sense in that respect to break that all out and pour new concrete.
Right. And the second question, Lou, is in a bedrooms, where it's kind of set a little bit, the actual floorboard is like a couple inches down around some walls.
Okay.
The house is built in 58, so it's what's the deal with that? Is the house settled? Or?
Yeah, I mean, do you have a basement under there, or is it on a slab?
Crawl space, Lou.
Okay.
It's a ranch house.
Okay. You know, if you can go down in that crawl and take a look and see if you have issues with any cracks in there, then it could be a settling issue. And somebody like a PermaSeal that does structural repairs and lifting can actually come out for free. The consultation is free. They can come out and take a look at it. And they can decide whether or not it makes sense to use a push pier, which they put underneath the foundation a wall and actually lift the house back up. And it's a permanent fix. So on both those respects, since they also do concrete raising, you could call them to at least evaluate the situation and see if using their poly-level system to level that concrete in the garage makes sense. So if you gave them a call at 800-421-SEAL, I think that it would be worth the free estimate to find out what's going on. Thanks so much for the phone call. 7:30, quick break.
Take some Listerine or some Scope and mix it 50-50 in a bottle and spray yourself and anything else you want, and flies will not bite you. And you smell minty fresh.
Really? These are actually good tips this time, Lou. I got to tell you, this is stuff I might use.
We've got a believer. Now back to Lou on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go work somewhere else. I don't think they like me there at WGN TV. The only reason they put up with me is that my segments are sponsored.
I love the internet.
Hi, Lou Manfredini. By the way, I was talking about John Williams is talking to Teddy Roosevelt. Not Teddy Roosevelt. Thomas Jefferson coming up on November 5th. And I mentioned that the return of Thomas Jefferson is presented by Conasec and Dillon Trial Attorneys. The transportation is also provided by O'Hare Midway Limousine. Couldn't we get those guys to drive us up to Ishinawa? I bet they own a bus. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. My name is Lou Manfredini. Your name is Mary Kay, in Hammond. Hi, Mary Kay.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's going on?
Good. Well, my husband and I have like totally ripped out our landscaping, and we've redone it. I've put in trees and shrubs
that
I wanted to, flowering and stuff, and we put in a nice.
Just do all this?
Yeah, over the summer we started.
And are you watering those trees like crazy?
Oh yes. Okay. And plus we've had the rain, so we've been very lucky.
Good.
My question is this: we want to put down some mulch. Now, when we purchased it, we went out and we bought like a pallet of rubber mulch. But everything, when I went to the landscapers, they're leaning me the other way to natural. And I just wondered, what's the advantages, disadvantages? Do you recommend it, don't recommend it?
Well, the advantages of natural is if you're a landscaper, you get to come back and do that every year.
Okay.
So
more money.
Correct.
So more money in their pocket.
So the whole idea with the natural is that it does decompose a little bit. It does add a little bit of nutrient to the soil. There's no question. But the advantage of the rubber mulch is the color is retained. It does last a lot longer. And you do still get some moisture retention because of the layers that occur. So I am a fan of the rubber mulch. The downside to it is it costs more. But, you know, I know many people that have used the rubber mulch over time and have been very happy with it long term. You know, it's a recyclable item, so that's nice. Do you like did you choose one with a like
color?
A deep
brown color.
Yeah, and that color really lasts. It really lasts.
Oh, nice.
I have no negative about it. You know, yes, it's not a natural product, but it is a recycled product. So from an environmental standpoint, it's got pluses there. Long term, I think you'll be happy with it.
Okay. Yeah, I was just concerned. I didn't want to put it down when we've made this big investment in everything and like be disappointed that, you know, or
no,
whatever.
I think you're going to like it.
Yeah, my sister-in-law said she's had it down for about 4 years and she hasn't had any problems.
And do you like her?
No. Oh, yes, very much.
I do
like her.
Well, then we trust her, right? I mean, if it was a sister-in-law you didn't like, then you wouldn't want to take that advice.
Exactly, yeah.
Do you have a sister-in-law you don't like?
No. No.
Good answer.
I only have two sister-in-laws.
All right, good.
But my husband and I watch your TV show, and we like your advice and stuff. So he mentioned give him a call. He's got on the air now. So I was like, okay.
Thank you very much.
I have one other quick question,
sure.
too. Because we want to put some lighting in that particular area.
Mm-hmm.
I purchased some solar LED landscaping lighting Westinghouse brand, and it goes in sun or shade. Do you have any recommendations of, like, longevity or anything of that nature on those kind of products?
So I will tell you this. The solar lights that have come out, 5 years ago the stuff was out. The brightness of them was not very good. Now they're amazing. The thing that I've noticed in our climate, if you're going to use these items, don't leave them out in the winter.
Don't leave them in the winter.
Because
okay.
What can happen with a lot of the shells and the bodies of these is water can infiltrate a little bit, and then it'll freeze, and then it'll crack and discolor. And so I would tell you that if you're going to use this, have it, you can go all the way to November. You can even go to December a little bit.
Okay.
But then pull that stuff out December, January, February, and then put it back in March.
Okay.
And, keep it charged up. Keep the solar part of it on the top clean, because that's where all the energy is going to come from the sun. And that way the battery gets the most charge, so you get the most light when you want it. And they're great. They've come a long way. As I mentioned, I was just at the ACE convention, which is here in town at McCormick Place, and they were showing a whole new line of stuff. I even had the chance to walk around with a reporter from the Chicago Tribune, and they have a whole setup with these solar lights displayed under sort of a canopy, because at a convention center it's very bright. And the amount of light lumens coming off of this stuff now is incredible. It really is sharp. And the styles are really pretty. So look for a lot of really new styles of well-made stuff coming out in the spring at your local participating ACE store. We'll be back right after these. All right. It is 7:49 in the morning. It's time now for our Noodaloo 2. Do you mention in your Noodaloo 2 where we found this product? How I learned about this product? Okay. It's cool. And when I sent it to Lindsay, she was like, well, I don't get it. And then when you looked at it.
We're very rustic this show. Like this, when we look at we were kind of like the outdoorsy theme this.
Well, yeah, I guess this is outdoorsy.
Totally.
Right? This is totally outdoorsy. But this is a really unique idea. And I really like it. Take a listen.
Hey, girl, I got something real important to give you. So just sit down and listen.
How awesome would it be to be able to rinse off the kids or the dog at the beach or park before they get into the car? Well, this week's Noodaloo 2 is a hose to go. Rinse Kit is the only portable shower to have the pressure of a garden hose without pumping or batteries. A shower in a box. Shout out to Lou's bestie, Mike J, for sending this one along. It's about the size of a cooler that would hold a 12-pack or something. You hook it up to your home spigot, and the rinse kit stores the water pressure for later use. As the water pressure from your hose spigot enters the rinse kit, it compresses the air into the chamber. And then when you close the valve, the pressure is trapped in the rinse kit and acts like a spring to force the water through the hose and out of the nozzle whenever you're ready to use it. It fills in just 20 seconds with 2 gallons of water, so it'll spray for about 5 minutes. It's lightweight, there's no pumping or batteries, and if you don't have access to water pressure, like if you live in an apartment or a dorm or maybe you're camping, there are a couple other options. There's a sink adapter or their field fill kit that works with a bike pump to pressurize the unit. This thing just makes sense. It's only about $90. You can store it in your car. Great for camping, fishing, the beach. I was talking to the lovely Andrea Darlis yesterday, and she said she wants one to spray off the porch in her condo because she doesn't have access to a garden hose. Brilliant. They're $89.99, can be found at rinsekit.com. Also available at places like REI and Cabela's. I will put all this information up on Lou's Mr. Fix-It page at WGNradio.com. Also up on his Facebook page and also up on VibeScore. Download the free app on your iPhone and vibe about it. That's this week's New to Lose.
It's like a cooler you would buy at... it looks like... It's exactly like a small... cooler, take a look at this, small cooler that you would buy, and inside is a pressurized bladder that you connect the garden hose to, and then it's got a short little hose. It's the smartest thing ever. You can fill it with warm water, and it'll keep the water warm. Sure. It's cool.
There's actually a it's sold separately, but like a warming stick or whatever it's called that you can that will warm the water for you. So if it's in the back of your car,
oh.
It's not for sale yet. So, but so
oh, like
still
a little like
it,
what
but.
David puts in the pond to keep the fish alive.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
But because it's a cooler, if I put warm water in it, mm-hmm. like in the picture mm-hmm. of the girl
showering
yes.
at the
beach. Poor thing. I hope it's not cold water. Well, I hope it's not cold, but she's at the beach and she's spraying herself down. If you had warm water in it, you know.
Right.
Right? It's so cool.
Like if you take a
Here's a guy spraying his muddy dog. You could take it to water your plants.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Here's a guy hosing off like a ATV in the back of his car. A guy coming from kayaking, rinsing himself off. Fishing guy, a guy camping. It's really mm-hmm. smart. Mud guys out there mountain biking. Smart. I like it. It's made by, well, Rinse Kit logo is the Outsole LLC is the company. And what is that sound?
Might be from me.
From what? Okay. It's won all these awards, too. It's won the Gear of the Year for 2015, 2016 Outdoor Gear of the Show. So it's really well received, and it's a really smart idea. $89. Check it out. Rinse Kit. And what was funny is I was on Mike Jakubowski's Facebook page. Like him on Facebook. Watch, I'm going to get him more followers than me. But he posted it, and I just happened to see it, and I sent it to Lindsay. I said, this would be a great noodle too. So it's up on our website and up on my Facebook page, at Lou Manfredini, or LouManfredini at Facebook.com. So check it out, and then also please vibe about it. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll be right back.
The name game.
Two words. Lou Manfredini.
Oh.
Six syllables, two words.
Shirley, Bo Burley, Bo Nana Banna, Bo Burley, Fee Fi, Mo Merrily. Shirley.
Five syllables.
Lou Manfredini. You're right. It's Lou Manfredini.
Lincoln, Bo Bingan, Bo Nana Banna, Bo Bingan, Fee Fi, Mo Mingan. Lincoln.
Louis Manfredini. I was thinking of his full name.
Right.
Actually, Lou Manfredini is only five syllables, but Louis Manfredini is six.
And now back to your host, Mr. Louis Manfredini.
8:10 in the morning. Here's a little thing I learned on Lindsay's birthday. It's also Al Roker's birthday. Thank you, Al Roker. This hour, the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Chevy Drive Chicago, Fox Home Center. And by wetandforget.com, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Back to the phone lines now. Here is Virginia in Berwyn. Hi, Virginia. You're on WGN.
Hi, Louis, or Lou, whichever you like to be called. And then happy birthday to our Lindsay.
She just stepped away, but I will convey your wishes to her.
And, Lou, you need to take her to Ishnala's with your family to help her celebrate.
I'm trying to work that out, Virginia.
I just want to let you know and your listeners that I was at Wisconsin Dells pretty much all my life. We used to go there when I was a small kid.
Did you go to Paul Bunyan's for breakfast?
I did.
Yeah.
And this was before Wisconsin Dells is what it is today.
Right.
And Ishnala's was so popular, we had a very difficult time getting in.
Right.
And this was years, years, years ago.
Look at me now. I can't get there either.
I tell you, it's a wonderful place. Have an ice cream, Brandy Alexander, and all is well. What I wanted to ask you, and I'm so glad I'm able to be off today. I'm a nurse at Rush University.
Oh, nice.
But when I am off, I listen to you. I think what you do is fantastic, helping people out. I have a back porch, and as I'm looking out in Berwyn, it is pouring rain.
Oh, boy.
And it's a wooden porch that needs to be torn down. And I thought, when I'm tearing down the back porch, I like to redo my cement concrete walkway to the alley.
Okay.
And the concrete that's underneath the porch. And
is this a two-story porch or a one-story porch?
It's a home. It's a one-story.
Okay.
It's
all right.
Just going up to the first
door.
Floor.
Okay.
Right. And basically, I guess they'll probably put in a new post.
Right.
And I'll probably go with the same contractors. They'll do the porch. They'll knock it down and then do the concrete work. My question is to you, what is the best time of the year to do concrete work? If you had your choice, they tend to say sometime when it's a little bit cooler or
yeah.
damp.
Yeah. I mean, so here's the thing. When you get a concrete contractor that knows what they're doing, you can do it any time of year. I mean, other than when it's freezing cold and before the ground freezes. So in our area here with the type of weather we've had, any time from March until probably even early December, it's fine. When the ground is frozen, you can't do it. And so, you know, if this is the type of thing you want to try and get done this year, I would giddy up on trying to find contractors locally to come out and do that so that you can get on their schedule. I mean, we're in August now. If they mm-hmm. if you got on someone's schedule and they said, hey, Virginia, we're going to get there, you know, we'll be there the 1st of November, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. I mean, the whole, you know, that whole concept of is it better to do it when it's cooler? The reason that people say that is because the concrete will then cure more slowly. And then the finish on the top, you know, tends to be harder and then resist more of the spalling and the cracks that can occur on the top portion of that. If it's really hot and it's, you know, direct sunlight in the 90 degrees, that top layer dries right away, and that's where you can get these little hairline cracks
right.
that nobody wants. And so, sure, when it's cooler outside, it's always better. But as long as it's not frozen, you're good to go.
Okay. And then one more thing. In terms of the mixture of the concrete, I have heard people say that you want to ask for a pebble, you know, P-E-B-B-L-E.
Pea gravel.
Oh, pea gravel, right. Is that true?
I mean, I don't care what
that does.
So
that make the concrete stronger?
No, well, so that's the aggregate. And the aggregate you can certainly call out as, you know, the size of the stone. But the thing is, for what you're doing, when they finish all this, I mean, the smaller stone, people can argue both ways on whether or not the size of the stone matters in the overall finish. But it's never been an issue that I have called out. And I've been at the helm of pouring a lot of concrete over mm-hmm. the years, and it's never been an issue. The only time you do a pea gravel aggregate specifically is if you're going to do what's called an exposed finish on the top, where actually that you work the stone all the way to the top. You know, if you've ever seen like those Merrimack stone where it's kind of mm-hmm. a brownish stone that gets mm-hmm. worked into the concrete. But if you're going to finish it traditionally, I wouldn't worry about that. Do me a favor. Hang on a second. I'm going to have Lindsay get your information and send you out an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air from your smartphone. Brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. 8:16 in the morning. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Lou on the Mr. Fix-It Show.
Every time I turn the hot water off, I get a bang noise.
Give him a call with your home improvement questions.
I have a problem with the caulk in my shower.
Right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Like 8:20 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. Thanks for joining us. Remember, the 312-981-7200 is also our text line. Coming up after 8:30, after the 8:30 news with Veronica Carter, we're going to be talking to Bob Clarizio. Hey, Paisano.
Clarizio.
Well, I don't think there's only one R. Owner of Titan Tiny Homes, not your typical camper. It's an RV trailer that allows you to bring your home with you. Love it. TitanChicago.com is their website, and really cool stuff. I have lots of questions. I know you guys have lots of questions, so let's get back to the phone lines right now. This is Rick in West Dundee. Hi, Rick.
Good morning, Lou. How are you this morning?
I'm all right. What's going on?
We have been invaded by a little bug called a springtail that is just driving us absolutely nuts. They're the most prolific bug in the soil, we are told, and they don't do anything except when the ground dries out, they go moving around looking for moisture, and one of the places they can go is inside a house. And we've got a pest company that's been fighting this for 3 months. They spray. We have drilled holes into every stud space in the house and pumped in powder. I've caulked every bit of floorboard and windows. The spray, it turns out that they're somewhat resistant to the chemicals that are used today. And I've talked to entomologists. They know very little about these things, except that they're really hard to get rid of. And we're ready to, one little hair I left is, I'm ready to pull out.
Wow.
They're looking for moisture. If they don't find it, they will eventually die. So some things out there say, just wait and they'll die. But who wants these bugs in your house? We've had our house surveyed with an infrared camera on the inside looking for moisture. They have found nothing. We've got 4 dehumidifiers running constantly. We are told you should be vacuuming because the things that they get in, we vacuum my whole house every day. It's a full-time job. One of the things that's the only thing that's left that I'm thinking of, they live in the soil. They climb up the foundation wall and get under the siding or climb up the siding and crawl in the windows. If they fall in our bathtubs, and we've got them in every room in the house, it's just...
Man, everybody listening right now is like itching and scratching, and they're all like moving around.
And nobody I've ever mentioned this to has heard of them. And even the entomologists say, we don't know much about these things, even though they're the most prolific bug in the soil. And neither of my neighbors have it. And the biggest question on the internet is, how come I've got them and my neighbors don't? My only hope left, we got double sticky tape, carpet tape that I put along all the baseboards, to try and catch them as they're coming in.
Yeah.
But we still find them. And they die. They're getting every inch of our floors have been sprayed with stuff. And so we're finding dead bugs, but who wants to even find dead bugs? If they fall into the bathtub, they can't get out because they can't climb up the slippery sides. And what I'm thinking is to put some kind of coating on my foundation wall that's either a spray on or a paint that's, Teflon like and really, really slippery.
All right, hold on. Hold, I'm going to stop you. I'm not an entomologist, but just based on what you're telling me, there's a couple things that I think you need to do. You just told me they live in the soil.
Yes.
And so what have you done to treat the soil around your entire yard?
Yeah, the pest company has sprayed 5 feet out from the wall.
Yeah, okay. So here's what I would start with. You have lawn around the perimeter of your home. Where are you?
Yes.
You're in West Dundee, so you've got grass that surrounds the house.
Yeah. Grass, yes.
Okay, so I want you to start today. Well, it's rain. Well, today it's fine, but if the rain clears, but go get the. Bear makes an insect control that's for grubs and other bugs. It's a 24-hour kill that's a granular that I want you to apply to your lawn all the way up next to the house.
Okay.
And I want you to put that down and, put it down as described on the bag as far as the coverage goes. In a week, I want you to also put down a product called Magical by Jonathan Green. Okay?
Magical?
Magical. It is it's going to change the soil pH. Okay?
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you right now, while the bug killer I think is going to be effective, I'm guessing on this soil amender on the Magical. And the reason I'm saying that is by changing the soil pH, that has an effect on the bug's willingness to be in that soil. Okay.
Sure.
Now, the problem you mentioned is they love moisture. Well, it's been raining like crazy. So
lately, yeah.
Right. And so that I can't help you with because I can't stop the rain.
Oh, no. The moisture outside will keep them outside. So
I see.
Rain is rain.
Oh, I see. Okay. So
they come inside because, it's been so dry before this.
Got it. So now we're going to treat that with the bear. We're going to treat it with the Magical. Then there is a product called Taro makes an ant shake. It's a powder, comes in a big bag,
okay.
And it actually kills just about anything. And I want you to take that bag. We're going to put the bear down, and then you can do the shake right away as well. And a week later, you're going to do the Magi-Cal, but you're going to put this shake around just about a foot out from the house so that if they're trying to come in, they're going to have to come across that shake, and that's going to kill them. Now, inside the house, you need to reduce that moisture as much as possible. Do you have central air conditioning?
We do.
And you're running that?
We're running that constantly with the fan on auto. We got it to 75 degrees.
Okay. So the problem with the fan on all the time is that can actually increase the moisture level in the house if the AC doesn't run as much. So I would tell you to go back to auto.
Okay.
Because keep it at whatever temperature is comfortable, and then keep fans moving. Now, in the basement, to get rid of that moisture, you may need something bigger than conventional dehumidifiers. The people at PermaSeal put in this product called Sanidry, okay, which is this commercial.
You're listening to Lou on the Mr. Fix-It Show.
What did I do?
Every time
I didn't do that. That wasn't me. I didn't touch anything. You may want to talk to them about putting one of these things in there, and it's going to dry that air up amazingly well, much more than this other unit, and it's going to be more efficient energy wise, and it probably be worth the investment. But if you try these things, that's the advice I have for you that hopefully will help. And you can get some results, you know, keep doing the vacuuming, like you said, but we need to change the environment of where they're living, and that bear product, the Magi-Cal, the shake around the perimeter, and then that system, the Sanidry inside, should help you control all this. Man, that's a tough spot. Thanks so much for the phone call. Okay. It's 8:28 in the morning.
Look how dark it is outside.
Wow.
It is like...
It's really dark.
Midnight here on the Mr.
Yeah,
Fix-It Show.
Right. It's right. It's up,
rain has
up,
arrived.
Up pretty late with Patty Vasquez. She's going to come in pretty soon. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Now back to your host, your go-to handyman, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Get a trumpet stake.
8:37 in the morning. It is super dark downtown Chicago. I don't know about that Aaron Water show, but maybe it'll get in there. Isn't there a Pearl Jam concert tonight at Wrigley Field, too? That'll be...
There are so many things happening this weekend.
It's
pure craziness, and
right.
Look at this weather.
And people, you know what else is happening today? People are getting married.
Well, that's kind of a dark and gloomy thing, in my opinion.
That wasn't my point, but
I know, Lou.
People have weddings planned, you know, so.
Yeah. No, there are a lot of things happening. And, you know, it's sad. I've been saying this in the weather. The nice forecast is Monday.
Right. When everybody's back at work.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe you should get married on a Monday. People should get married. You should do that. So much pressure on the weekend to make it nice. Do people ever get married during the middle of the week? I would think you would be able to get like a room, no problem.
Friday weddings are very popular.
Well, but yes. Friday, that's the weekend, though.
Mm-hmm.
How about getting married on a Thursday?
I've never heard anyone say they got married on a Monday. That's
right.
For sure.
I mean, think about it. When you really think about it, do the wedding on a Thursday, especially if it's a big wedding or it's out of town wedding, mm-hmm. Then people make a whole long weekend of it. Oh my gosh, is that a great time on the wedding on Thursday? Then Friday, you do the whatever.
Booze cruise.
We're married. Woo!
That's so crazy. It might actually work.
I know. Totally. Thursday wedding. Maybe I'll plan that. You know, I got four kids I got to worry about.
And then you can literally recover all day Sunday if need be.
Exactly. I don't know why we don't do more of that. All right. Let's talk about something that's really cool. Joining me. Hold on. Where's my piece of paper here? Here it is. Joining me on the phone line right now is Bob Clarizio. Did I say that right, Bob?
Yes, you did.
Clarizio Jr., owner of Titan Tiny Homes. And you guys are here in the Chicagoland area?
Yeah, we're located in South Elgin.
Oh, really? All right. Okay, you guys, TitanChicago.com, make tiny houses, but that are movable. And did I see some of your
tiny houses on the road recently for some sort of demo?
We've been all over the country. it's been a wild 9 months, to say the least. We have a house in Sioux City, Iowa, for a Hard Rock Casino and Hotel chain doing promotions for a raffle where we're raffling off a tiny house.
Okay.
And also we'll be in Vegas at the Hard Rock Casino in the month of December. We've also done the Arlington Heights Historical Society this year, and we'll also be doing the Elgin Historical Society next month on September 11th. So we'll be out there as well. So it's so crazy because we're just I can't even explain it. We're all over the country. It's
okay. So back me up. First of all, tell me what it is you guys build.
So we build what's known as a tiny house, but more importantly, it's basically every element of a house, like a regular structured house, but on the platform of an RV trailer.
Okay, so this isn't a house that you're going to build and put on a foundation.
No,
this is a house that I'm gonna hook up to the back of my Chevy Silverado.
Yeah,
and I've looked at a couple pictures that you have online. It's essentially a rectangular house.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, that's what we do. And give me the dimensions of these houses.
So on average, they're 8.5 feet wide, and they average in lengths from 16 feet long all the way up to 32 feet long.
And are you building them conventionally? Are you using 2x4 studs? Are you building them out of metal? Or to tell me about the style.
It's a good question. So we built all the interiors are actually drywall. And then as we move through the wall cavity, we've got structural steel studs. So there'll never be a problem with rotting or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we move into plywood. And then the exterior of the units are all steel siding. So we make them very, very durable, almost built like a car.
Right.
All the windows are double-pane windows. There's R13 insulation in the walls, and they'll sustain themselves in sub-zero temperatures all day long.
Floors insulated?
Yep.
And tell me about the interior.
So the interior, we got hardwood, bamboo floors and tons and tons of trim. Just we decorate them really, really well. It's more of a modern appeal, so we do custom cabinetry.
It's an open floor plan, right?
Absolutely. Staircase, I mean, all sorts of cool stuff.
How tall are they?
They range from about 13 feet to 13 feet 6 inches, so they're pretty tall, but they meet all the DOT requirements to safely transport them down the road without having to have any special moving permit.
And so essentially, do I have a bedroom and a bathroom and a kitchen and a living space?
Yeah, so you have a four-foot-wide, full-size shower that you'd find in any other home. The sleeping arrangement can either be on the first floor or we can do a loft. Either way, they'll fit a king-size bed.
That's amazing. Tell me a little bit about the kitchen amenities.
Okay, so the kitchen, we got butcher block countertops, stainless steel appliances. All of our faucets, our Moen fixtures. We can do either white cabinets or we do stained cabinets. So really you have a lot of selection in both the cabinetry and how we finish out the unit, whether floor colors or you can have a sliding entry door, or you can have French doors, or you can have a regular size 36-inch entry door. All the lighting in the unit is 12-volt power, and there's also a backup battery on board, so you can power all the lights, the furnace, the water heater, and things of that nature for about 2 to 3 days without having to be hooked up somewhere. So they're really beneficial in the sense of a power outage or something like that, where you're not chasing around flashlights and candles. You still have that reserve power to power your unit.
So the concept of this is not necessarily an RV per se that every weekend you're going to drive and go somewhere, is it?
No, but on the other hand, there's a large group of RVers in the Midwest, especially, that have that campground site up north or somewhere where they actually park their RV, and it's kind of just stays there for years. And
right.
They go up there every weekend and stuff
right.
like that. And what we found is they're not meant to do that. Where our units are meant to do that, so it opens up doors to possibilities to have a sustainable place where you can go up, and you know that every time you open the door, it's not going to be moldy or something's going to be leaking or falling apart.
Right. What's the roof?
We do both. So we do a standing seam metal roof, so it's got a lifetime warranty.
Right.
Stuff like that. I mean, we also have some other options for roofs, but pretty much the entire envelope of the exterior is lifetime warranted against rot, fading of the paint color, and all that kind of stuff.
All right, now this is I get the sense that this is a relatively new venture for you guys. How long have you been doing this?
We got into the tiny house movement or market, as you could say, about a year ago.
And what were you doing before that?
So we were doing custom homes. Renovations, kitchens, bathrooms, that kind of work.
And then all of a sudden, one day, you're sitting around with, I assume, do you have a partner in this, or is it just you? Or
not, it's just me.
All right, so you were sitting around one day, you had a couple too many beers, and you thought, I'm going to make a tiny house.
No, so what it's funny, we got approached by a couple in Long Grove who said, we're looking for somebody to build this tiny house thing. And I didn't know what to think. I was kind of like, okay. So we kind of talked more about it, and then they said we have a TV show, Tiny House Nation, that's going to be filming the episode, and that kind of really caught my attention. I was like, well, you know, I get a chance to be on TV and I get to build something kind of goofy. I'll give it a shot.
Right.
As soon as we did it, just our Facebook page in general doubled in followers over the course of the first week that we were building it, and people really started to take a liking and interest to it. And so on a whim, which I don't advise anybody starting a business to do, but on a whim, I in October of last year, I leased a 10,500 square foot facility with no prototype, no future sales, and about two employees, and went all in on this thing, knowing that if we did get it to take off, we would need the space and stuff like that. And, you know, it was gut-wrenching for the first couple of months. We didn't make any sales, and things got frustrating. But then in January, the last week in January, we made three sales, and then we've sold 20 houses since then.
That's awesome. I love that story. We got to get you on the Wintrust Business Lunch. I love that. Okay, now tell me, what's the price range of these bad boys?
Well, we're priced pretty competitively. So our houses start...
You're priced pretty competitively to what? There's not like a ton of people out there doing this.
Well, there are. I mean, there's about 20 other tiny house manufacturers across the country. I mean, I was just at it's called the Tiny House Jamboree. It's a huge convention out in Colorado Springs. And there were 60,000 people there.
Wow!
So it's growing. I mean, it's taking its stride in the right direction. But most of these tiny houses are very, very overdone, and can be priced upwards of $80,000 to $100,000.
Wow!
For these little houses,
right?
And our whole approach to this was, this is a really good solution for people burdened by college debt and frustrated with bills and things of that nature. So my whole idea was, well, let's get something that's really cool, that has a lot of good finishes, and let's price it at about $45,000, which sounds like a lot, you know, as far as a car, relation to a car or something like that. But when you put them on like a 15-year loan, they've got a $300 house payment.
Right, right.
It's a really nice place to live.
All right, I got a great idea for you. All right, and we're going to give all this information out so people can find you. But here's what we want to do. We got to do one of two things. We got to get Tom Jenke at Builder Supply Outlet, okay, to commission these guys to build a tiny home out of all the stuff you can get at Builder Supply Outlet, right? You could do something like that, couldn't you?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right, Bob? He can provide all the fixtures and the trim and the doors and the windows, blah, 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 blah. And then Tom puts that out there, and then we get the Chevy dealers to put a sweet Chevy Silverado in the front of that bad boy to pull it. Okay. And it's a whole big promotion. Wait, and then we drive it to the supper club up in Ishnala. No, but there's something here, Bob. There's more to all this that we can figure all out. All right, I think, A, I love that you went all in, that you put your you-know-what on the line to make it all happen, and it's working out for you. So I applaud you for that, because if you're not going to take a risk in this world, you're never going to get a reward. So I'm sure that you learned a lot about yourself and hard work and what it takes to do it. And you're still, I'm sure, not out of the woods, but it sounds like you're off to a great start. If people want to learn more about your business, about your tiny house, and they want to buy six or seven of them, how do they do that?
Well, we want to direct you to our website, TitanChicago.com, or you can call us directly at 847-443-4096. Those are the easiest ways to get a hold of us. We typically get back to people within 48 hours. And right now we're...
I want to do more with this, Bob. I like this, Bob, Lindsay. I don't know what it's going to be, Bob, but I'm gonna figure out a way to help you grow this business, because I just like what you have to say, and I don't even know you, but you just got a nice vibe to you, and I love that you're going after it and doing a great job. So Titan Chicago, T-I-T-A-N, Chicago.com. Bob Clarizio Jr. is the owner of Titan Tiny Homes. I wish you the best of luck, continued success, and don't forget to stop every now and then and enjoy what's all this hard work is turning into, all right?
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You got it. All right. That's awesome. I love that story. 8:51 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with the Mr. Fix-It Show. We'll be right back.
Now, back to the Mr. Fix-It Show with your host, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
There's nothing wrong with a hard hat and a hammer.
Madeline is in Milwaukee. Hi, Madeline. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. I started out with one question, but if I could, I do have two.
Right, wait, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Did you go to a fish fry last night?
No, we didn't.
Do you normally go to one?
No, we used to, but for some reason we haven't.
Really?
We should.
I know. That's like a thing.
We've got a place not far from us that has, from what I've told, delicious fish fries.
Put that on your list for next Friday.
I will do that.
All right, good. How can I help you?
Well, the first question I have is my kitchen faucet at the base. There is a black watery substance that accumulates there when I'm using the faucet, when I'm doing dishes, etc. And I don't know what it is. It's easily wiped up with paper towels, but I don't like the way it looks.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea what that could be? I've never had it before.
Well, more than likely, how long has that faucet been there?
Probably 12 years.
Okay, so more than likely, when that faucet went down there, the plumber put something called plumber's putty underneath it. And over time, it could wear away, the faucet moves a little bit, and it's just gathering enough water where the plumber's putty isn't sealing the, keeping the water out, and that's what you're seeing a little, almost
on the base.
Okay. So in order to correct that, the faucet body needs to be removed from the sink, cleaned up, more plumber's putty goes down. Now, newer faucets now tend to come with a little, like a rubber base, almost like a giant washer that's molded to fit that same body, and that helps seal it. There's no plumber's putty needed, but that's probably what has to happen
well,
there.
It also gets in the, I will see it in the connection between the lever. You know, it's one lever, you know, you go one way for hot, one way for cold. It's also at the base of that lever.
Right. Well, then if that's the case, you may have a little leak in the valve body itself.
Okay,
so that you can either replace the insert. Let me ask you this, Madeline. Who's going to do all this work?
My husband.
Oh, okay. So that's fine.
Plumbing is his least favorite thing to do.
I know.
He's handy otherwise.
I have a love-hate relationship with plumbing. I love doing the domestic water stuff, like changing faucets and stuff. I hate working on the nasty stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just had to change a sump pump, an ejector pump out at
my house.
Oh, that's
not fun.
No, not good.
Okay.
Anyway, so what he can do, what's his name, that fine man?
Dave.
How long have you been married to Dave?
Okay, 52 years.
Wow. 52 years. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And they said it wouldn't last.
That's right.
Did your mother like him?
Yes, she did.
Oh,
that helped.
Good. That always helps, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Dave's going to do this. He's going to shut the water off underneath, and he's going to take the lever off and the valve body off and either clean it up or take it to the hardware store and say, I need a new one of these. And while he's doing that, he's going to loosen the body of the faucet up. And he's going to have to take the water lines off to get it out, clean it all up, put new plumber's putty on there. Now, you can do all of that, or it's an excuse, Madeline, to say, how about we just get a new faucet?
That's what I'm thinking.
Right. By the time he does all of this, you could go and get a nice new faucet.
Yeah.
And that'll come with that little gasket that I told you about. And you can, you know, dress things up a little bit. It'll actually make his life a lot easier.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what we want. We want him, and we want Dave's life to be easy.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. What was your second question?
My second question is we tested our basement twice for radon. It is a problem. I can't give you the exact numbers. But now
why is it a secret?
No, but I don't have it in front of me, and I don't remember exactly what it was.
Okay.
Anyway, does the radon fix, having someone come and do whatever they do, does that really work?
Yes.
It does.
So a radon mitigation system, typically when they come in, they will seal up all the crevices and cracks that are in and around that basement area, and they'll put
the sump,
they'll seal the lid. They'll also put a venting system in where they typically drill a hole into the basement floor, and they stick a pipe in there, and then they create a negative pressure underneath the slab. And that fan literally runs 24/7, and they run a pipe up the side of your house. It's not the most beautiful thing you've ever seen.
Well, it's on the side of the house where we have a lot of foliage and trees, so it doesn't matter.
Right. So they can do all that, and yes, it is effective. And the other thing too, Madeline, is someday you're going to sell that house, and that radon mitigation system with that new buyer is going to they're going to want to see it. And it's going to be a value-added proposition. I'm bumping up against time, but I want you to hang on. Let's send out Madeline a Mr. Fix-It Lose Crew T-shirt, courtesy of our friends at Fox Home Center in Alsip, created by Rags of Honor, helping veterans get back on their feet. That tone you heard meant it's 9 o'clock in the morning.
Which whole thing?
I like that whole hook of the better to join the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
I get what they're trying to do, but we need to rewrite it.
You know what? We could just say something simple. Listen or you miss out. And during your show, we can say, listen or you miss Lou.
Yeah, no, it's something else. I got to think about it. I get it. You know, I'm Veronica Carter in the WGN newsroom.
We were having fun with it yesterday in the newsroom. We were saying stuff like, we could just say, ready to join the conversation when we feel like it.
Right, right. I'm going to say that Judy Pilek said that, right?
Yeah.
When I feel like it. I'll come in and say something when I want to.
And I'll look good doing it.
Right, and I'll look good doing it. Right. Let's do that. That's the new thing.
Where's the tiara at?
Ready to join the conversation when I feel like it.
Okay.
Now back to you.
You know, let's just be honest.
Right. We are. We are being honest right now. Right. Ready to join the conversation. Go ahead. Say it like that. Say, I'm Veronica Carter,
all right,
ready to join the conversation when I want to. Go ahead and say that.
I'm Veronica Carter, ready to join the conversation when I feel like it.
You're listening to Lou on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I tell her, baby, 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 I'm a fireball.
I feel like it. Hi, this is Lou Manfredini. This is the Mr. Fix-It Show. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by the Lindeman Chimney Company, by Ace Hardware, and by LouHairVideo.com. It's more like a mini-series. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. It's also our text line. We'll do our Just Text Me segment after 9:30 this morning. Mary has been on hold in Aurora forever. Mary,
Hi, Lou.
Thank you for hanging on. How can I help you?
You bet. Due to your suggestion, and I am at that impressionable age, I got porcelain plank floors from Floor and Decor.
Porcelain plank. Okay.
You know, they look like it looks like wood.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sure. Oh, like an unglazed porcelain?
Yeah. Okay. Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
You love it.
I love it.
But?
You could bowl, you know, on my first floor. Just recently, some of the grout started to discolor, and what I first thought it was maybe when I washed the floor with spick and span. You know, it's almost as if there was a
residue.
Powder. Yeah. But that's not it, and it's just in a couple of places, and I'm just I don't know if I need to use something to clean it with, or maybe I cleaned it with something that was too harsh, but it's only in a couple of spots.
What color is the grout?
The color of the grout is like almost like a dark gray. Floors are beautiful.
Okay, so let's try this, but you may end up, here's what I want you to try. There is a product you can get at the hardware store called Concrobium Mold Eraser.
I've heard you talk about it
all right.
A lot.
Comes in a giant bottle, looks like a big vitamin jar. And I want you to take a little bit of it and mix it with warm water per the instructions, and it's going to start to percolate like a witch's brew.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And then you're going to take a little bit of that, and you're going to put it over the area where there's a little bit of the discoloration, and take a nylon finishing brush. Now, at the hardware store, they sell them in these little three packs. They have nylon and they have brass. I want you to buy the nylon. It looks like a giant toothbrush.
Okay.
And you're going to work that area in where the stain is. Work it in, let it sit for a few minutes, wipe it up.
Okay.
And what may happen is you clean it so well, you're going to have to do all the grout.
I just retired, so I have all the time.
The time in the world. So try that, and it should work for you.
Okay, I should be able to get that at my Bukema's Ace Hardware.
Yeah, you'll absolutely get him at Bukema's, and you tell Kyle Bukema that I sent you.
I will. Thanks, right. Lou.
Thanks, Mary. I appreciate you calling this morning. This is Karen in Glenview. Hi, Karen. You're on WGN.
Hi. Good morning, Lou. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
And happy birthday to Lindsay. I don't know if she heard when I talked to her earlier. My issue is my parents own a small cottage in Door County that they bought in the 70s. We think it was built in the 40s because it has glass doorknobs that's of a unique time period. And it's a cute little cottage, but it has five rooms. The biggest room is the living room that it was an add-on before my parents bought it.
Okay.
So it's 15 by 15 living room. And we decided, it sits on 2 acres of land, we decided to keep it in the family. My dad has passed, but so my mom and I have been doing renovations each summer. And
nice.
So we've already put on a new roof because it needed it, and new windows. And we were repairing and replacing the inside ceiling and walls when we ran into an issue in the living room. And the living room had sunk, so they looked, the contractor who was doing it looked at it and found that the substructure, it sits on a crawl space, rotted. And so we never thought of that. From what I understand, you're supposed to vent it. They only used it 3 seasons out of the year, and they closed it up in the winter.
Right.
So we found 2 contractors, and we've gotten 2 estimates, but there are 2 different approaches and how they'd handle it, and we aren't sure which way to go with,
is the
way to go with. So one of the contractors said that we should, first of all, one would not work with a written contract, only he comes very highly recommended, but he'd only do a handshake for it. And the other doesn't like a contract, but he said it, his wife would do it. So one, the way he'd approach it, they both open the living room floor, that's 15 by 15, and they repair the wood beams that and rebuild that part. It's on wood. But then one said that he would use 1/4 inch plywood and then a vapor barrier, and then a half-inch plywood, and then the flooring would go on top. And the other said he would use a vapor barrier and then three-quarter inch plywood. And we didn't know if it makes a difference to sandwich it. Is it better to have it sandwiched?
All right, I'm going to stop you. A, I'm not thrilled about the no written contract.
Okay.
So, I mean, you need some sort of protection. You need some sort of protection other than a handshake. I mean, if it was your brother-in-law doing this, that would be one thing. But
okay.
If it's people that you don't know, then you need something in writing that says this is the work they're going to do and this is what you agree to pay them and, you know, this is how long it's going to take. So
great.
That's
okay.
A number one. You if you can't find a contractor within these two that do that, you need to find somebody else.
Okay.
And you absolutely have to do that because I don't want you to be taken advantage of.
Thank you.
As far as the process goes, once all that wood is replaced and everything that goes down there is properly shored up and new stuff is in there, the vapor barrier actually should go on the underside of the joist.
Because
we're trying to keep the moisture down there and keep it off the joist. And if we're going to vent that crawl space, now properly vent the crawl space,
right.
I would have the floor insulated and then I would use a 3/4 inch plywood on top of that, not the sandwiched method. Not quite sure.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure what the purpose of that is. And then your flooring would go on top of that. Now, there's a whole other, way to do this where you can encapsulate the crawl. And if there's excessive moisture down there, that might make more sense. Now, you're up in Door County. You know, my friends at PermaSeal are not going to go to Door County. But they work with an organization called Basement Systems, which there's probably a basement systems contractor up in that area. They can come. They may even do the structural work for you, not the finished work on top, but down below if there's a contractor up there under that basement systems banner. And they can encapsulate the crawl space, which basically means it's essentially like a white pool liner that goes down to keep all the moisture out of there, and then they seal up the crawl. And so any of the moisture that permeates up through there is vented outside, and it creates a more clean, finished environment that ultimately I think is a better investment for you, especially if you're going to keep this thing long term.
Yes, but
But the thing is, Karen, you have to have a written contract. There's no handshakes with people that you don't know. People you know, that's great, but if you don't know them, you have to protect yourself somehow so that you don't get taken advantage of. Thanks so much for the phone call. Good luck with that project. It's 9:20 in the morning. You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yo, Lou, you've done this for a long time. I think it's time to drop Lou. I think you should be like Madonna. You should just go with Manfredini. And now it's Manfredini. He puts the man in Manfredini.
Now back to your man, Fredini Lou, on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Here's Linda in Wilmette. Hi, Linda. You're on WGN.
Hi. We have a new driveway. It's Brussels block tumbled pavers.
Congratulations.
It's beautiful.
I know.
It's very light, so the problem is the tires are leaving tracks on the driveway.
You need new tires.
Pardon me?
You need new tires.
No, I have a new car.
I'm kidding.
Oh, okay. we've used a product called Simple Green, but that didn't do anything, and I was wondering if you had any suggestions on how we can get rid of the tire tracks.
Did they seal the Brussels block or no?
No, it was not sealed.
Okay. Did they talk about that?
Yeah, we did talk about it. I think it was recommended that we live with it for a while and see what we think.
Okay. So a couple ways to go with this. You can use the simple... Well, let me ask you this. When you use the Simple Green Cleaner, what are you using to clean? Use it? Are you scrubbing it with a brush?
Oh, I think my husband used like a, you know, I don't know if he used a brush or used like a maybe a broom.
A broom.
Maybe a broom.
Okay.
Yeah.
There is a, you need a, like an oxygenating cleaner. Okay. So, you know, the OxyClean cleaner that you can buy in the bucket?
Okay. Yeah.
Right. It's an outdoor cleaner, comes in a bucket. Put that in warm water and then buy him a deck brush. On a broomstick. It's a stiff nylon brush, and then mix up that OxyClean with some warm water. Stir it up, and then just take that and pour a little bit on where the tire tracks are and scrub it away, and then rinse it.
Okay,
it'll come up.
Okay, great.
And then
Thank you so much. But
here's the thing: is that color, because it's brand new and the lighter, it's gonna darken a little bit.
Okay.
You know, just the organic material that's going to go on it is going to get on there and it's going to darken. And so probably by next spring, you just had this done, right?
Last summer.
Oh, last summer.
Yeah, last summer.
So it's a year in. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, so it's a year in.
So let's do this then. Do the scrubbing of the OxyClean. Maybe have him scrub the whole thing. He's going to love you for this.
Yeah.
Then after he rinses it all off, I want you to apply a product called Wet and Forget.
Okay. We've used that before, I think.
Keep using it. Put a coating down now, and then in the spring have him do it again.
So put that all over the driveway.
The whole thing. Twice a year.
Twice a year.
Okay.
Okay. We will try it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. It's 9:27 in the morning. We'll be right back.
And we call it a phone, but we don't really use it much as a phone, do we? No, we don't.
Time for Just Text Me.
Who wants to talk? Oh, my God, I got to talk.
Wait a minute.
Talking is work. You've got to make facial expressions. You got to suck air in. You got to blow it out.
Here's the thing. You just made the idea even better. By the way, this our Just Text Me segment is sponsored by iwantsmart.com. So we get the builder's supply outlet to supply all the stuff to build the tiny home from TitanChicago.com, right? Then that becomes our remote broadcast house, right? And we get the iWantSmart.com guys to put the HVAC system in, right? And we get a window company to do, right? It's a whole thing.
Oh,
it's like
God.
A little showroom. And then when we go on the remotes, that's the tiny house we bring with us, right? I'll be in my trailer broadcasting. And then at the end of the year, this is an initiative for 2017. Gives them plenty of time to get it all done, right?
Awesome.
And then at the end, we have a huge contest and somebody wins the tiny house.
Ooh.
Right?
That's good. That's good stuff.
Right? Is this thing on? Somebody's on it. Believe me, the poor Titan guy's like, oh my gosh, we had so many calls from your sales staff. Happy birthday.
Thank
Did you,
you
have you gotten any texts about your birthday?
I have. Very nice listeners. Texts and calls.
You want to tell people how old you are? No. Don't tell.
I'm 36.
Oh, I can't believe you told people that.
Wow. Well, growing old is a privilege.
Is it? Well, that's true.
Right?
It is better to grow old.
I mean, I wasn't saying that last night at dinner.
But. No, you weren't.
I'm taking the high road today.
Right. Very nice. Happy birthday.
Thank you. It's
Hope you have a wonderful
good day. The sun is coming out.
Okay.
In my head.
Well, it's not as dark as it was okay. an hour ago. Right. Oh, my gosh. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
All right. Your microphone's a little down.
Is it still?
Yeah. Turn it up a little
right.
bit.
How does this? Better? Little, better?
That's
better?
Right there. Right there. Right. Thank you.
Okay, Lou, how do I keep a possum off my fence as he's knocking down my hummingbird feeders every night?
Didn't we have this question?
Well,
did someone call with this question?
Maybe, and they said to send. They did send a picture. I maybe it was on Cochran's show. I have never heard this question before.
Oh yeah, it was on Cochran's show.
And I saw this cute little picture of a possum, and so I read it. But maybe you've already.
Did they send a picture?
Yeah.
What kind of fence is it? Is it a vinyl fence or a wood fence?
Oh, can I tell that from the picture?
Well, you should be able to.
Oh, possum. Here it is. Picture. Let's see.
Does it look like it's wood or vinyl?
Oh, it's wood.
It's wood. Okay, so if it's wood, what we probably need to do is put some, you can buy these things called bird spikes that are plastic, and they have little spots where you can screw in screws to hold it in place, and they're these little spikes that the possum can't get on because it'll poke him or her.
and put that on top. I think I told the person, because I wasn't sure what kind of fence it was because they put them on hold. If it's a vinyl fence, if you spray something like vegetable oil, it's slippery and they don't like that on their pads and they'll go somewhere else. But on a wood fence, it would get absorbed. If you do the bird spikes, I bet it'll be it'll work.
That's a good one. I want to know if I can install hardy board siding over existing cedar siding.
You can, but it wouldn't be my recommendation because you won't, with the hardy in particular, because it's such a rigid material, you want a flat surface underneath it so that you get a really, you're going to spend a lot of money on the hardy board and you don't want to mess up the installation because of what's underneath it. So if it were me, I would take all the old siding off, inspect if there's any repairs that have to be made to the sheathing of the house, and then do that. You maybe have an opportunity now to wrap it in a building wrap and then put the hardy on properly.
All right. Next question. I found black mold in an outside wall closet. Can I use Concrobium to get rid of it myself, or do I need a pro to tear out the moldy wood?
The only issue there is if there's mold behind what you have. So I would test it first. We talk about the home mold test kit from Healthful Home. It'll tell you in 5 minutes if it's dangerous. But, yes, you can clean it with either a Concrobium product, or Healthful Home also makes a cleaning product. But, again, what I'm concerned with is if there's mold behind that, if it's in the insulation, then it can breed back. My recommendation would be to go ahead and clean it. Did you say it's a closet?
Yes.
Okay. So it might be that we need to get some more airflow in there. If you can leave the door open to get some airflow, pay attention. If all of a sudden you see evidence of that coming back in a month, then we have to open up the wall and clean it.
Ugh.
Yeah.
All right. And last, at my wit's end, the upstairs bathroom sink burbles right after it drains. Plumber has cleared all the drains in the house and they work just fine. What next?
Well, if it still gurgles, then it has to be some kind of vent issue. What I would try is there is an overflow in most sinks, a little hole where the overflow goes. There could be a little clog in there that could cause that little burp. And you can buy a little drain snake. It's a plastic, flexible product that is plastic with little barbs on it. Stick it down in that hole all the way down and kind of see if you can clear that out. If that doesn't work and you've already had a plumber there, that gurgling has to be due to a clog in the actual pipes in the walls, and that's where it's coming from. And so a snake may have to go in there if the plumber hasn't done that. But try this little trick through the overflow and see if that helps.
That's this week's Just Text Me.
All right. Sponsored by IWantSmart.com. 9:43 in the morning, 312-981-7200. What are you telling me?
Jeff, he's been hanging out.
Oh, well, let's talk to Jeff, who's in Montgomery. Jeff, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, what can I do for you?
Well, I'm building an attached garage, and it's about 20 feet wide and 30 feet deep. And the back corner, I'm building a room that's going to be a greenhouse room, so it's going to have sliding glass doors and windows and skylights. And I'm wondering
within this whole garage or as an extension to the garage?
Within the garage.
Okay.
And I'm wondering what the best wall insulation or wall materials, the architect just said drywall with insulation on the drawing. But I'm thinking that maybe exterior plywood would be better. And I don't know if I should do a house wrap on those two walls.
All right, so we're building a 20 by 30 room.
Well, it's a 20 by 30 garage, and the greenhouse room is about 10 by 10.
In one corner.
Correct.
So I'm picturing the 20 by 30, and then in the corner, you're going to then put a wall in there, and then those two exterior walls are going to be glass?
Yeah, sliding glass doors and windows.
And windows. What about the roof?
The two interior walls go up through the attic space to the roof, and so there'll be skylights.
So there'll be skylights into that. And so what you're talking about is that wall that separates the greenhouse room from the garage, what do you do?
Correct.
I don't think I would do. I don't think I would do drywall because on the inside,
I mean, there's bathroom type drywall, but I think I'm going to get it wetter than a bathroom.
I'm just trying to think of from a look, what would be kind of a cool thing on the greenhouse on those two walls, since it's not that big, stud the wall out, put like a rock board, like a Dura-Rock on it, and tile those two walls.
Okay.
Use like a white subway tile, which would look really cool in a greenhouse. Now, depending on if you're going to mount shelves or whatnot, you may want to do some wood backing so that if you're going to do anything like that, you know where everything is and you're going to have to drill through the tile. Or you don't have to do a subway tile. You could do a larger tile. But I would do something like that, which would look really sharp, wouldn't cost a ton of money. Tile that looks like wood if you wanted to give it that look. But then you have something that if you're spraying or moisture, whatever, the fact you're going to have all these windows in there, that's going to get pretty moist. And so drywall or plywood would be, I think would just cause more of an issue. And if you have a vapor barrier like that with a tile, it would look really sharp.
Okay. So you think that even exterior plywood with exterior paint would be
a mistake
in the future?
A mistake in a garden, especially you're going to spray that thing like crazy, and that moisture is going to get behind there. And if it's a greenhouse and you've got all that glass, it's going to be humid. And so something like tile, I think, would really be a smart idea.
Okay. And then the insulation behind it between
conventional insulation, as long as I don't get it wet, I don't care.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
So I don't need to do like a styrofoam or anything
that? No. Okay. I would just do a conventional insulation there, and I think you'd be good to go. Thanks so much for the phone call. 9:47 in the morning. Quick break, and we'll be back right after this. It's 9:51 in the morning, 312-981-7200. This is Mike in Batavia. Mike, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, what's up?
I have a gooseneck desk lamp, and we had a CFL light bulb in it. And this morning when I got up, I looked at the desk, and the bulb head came out of the lamp, and it shattered on the desk. Now, I believe those contain mercury. Is there something special I need to do to clean that up?
Well, yeah, it does contain it. It contains a trace amount of mercury, and so it's all over your desk.
Yeah. I put some gloves on and cleaned up the broken glass and just wiped it up and got all the pieces of. The garbage can, but I'm concerned if there's something else I need to do.
Well, at this point with the dust, here's the thing. It is a pencil tip amount of mercury. And so while that is, while you have to be very careful about it, I don't want, anyone with CFLs to react like, oh my gosh, there's mercury. I would wipe up with a damp rag everything you can and dispose of that. At this point, when it's shattered, you just have to throw it in the garbage. And just limit the amount of dust that's there and, know that, CFLs again have just a trace amount of mercury and you just have to be careful. Obviously, if there's little kids around, you don't want them touching it. You don't want to put it on your tongue, but if you wipe it up carefully and limit the amount of dust, you shouldn't have any problem cleaning that up whatsoever. 9:53 in the morning. We'll take a quick break.
Happy trails to you.
Time for Lou's Last Call. Sponsored by Townstone Financial. Our last caller, we were just talking about Dex, is Dan in Naperville. Hey, Fergie. Hi, Dan. You're on WGN.
Hey, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up? How can I help you?
I got a new pressure-treated deck in May, and I'm wondering how long I have to wait before I put a sealer on it.
Say that it's treated?
No, it's a pressure treated wood.
Right.
How long do I have to wait before I put like a stain on it?
Well, we need it to dry out, and we need some of the sap to come out of that wood. So it all depends on the weather, but sort of a rule of thumb I give people is about anywhere from 2 to 3 months.
Uh-huh.
And then when that happens, tell me when you built it.
May.
Okay. So you're good. A great time to do it is in the fall.
Okay.
Pressure wash it. get it nice and clean, lightly sand the surface of the deck that you walk on and any horizontal boards.
Okay.
Because what happens is that wood hits the sun, it starts to get what's called a wood sheen. Mm-hmm. And then the wood sheen won't allow the stain to absorb. So once you open up the pores a little bit, then you want to use a semi-transparent deck stain.
Somebody told me Ready Seal. I could use Ready Seal. They think that's the best one out there.
Mm. So that's a matter of opinion. If you ask my opinion, the best product to use is called Penifin. Penifin is a rosewood oil base deck stain that really does a nice job. It is not a cheap can of stain by any stretch of the imagination. But you, if you do all the prep work like I mentioned, and then you brush this on, it really kind of goes on similarly to a stain if you were doing a table. You you brush it back and forth, and then you allow it to sit there for a little bit, and then you wipe it away with a rag. And so it works. It works really well. And,
Sold at your local Ace?
Well, you got to find a dealer at your local Ace. Not every Ace carries it. Okay. And so if you go to their website, you can find a... you can find the dealer network. Do me a favor. Hang on a second. Since you're our last caller, I have can you get this information to give him the three-room carpet cleaning from Executive Green Carpet Cleaning, providing
Absolutely.
A level of clean that no one else in the area
mm-hmm.
can deliver?
Mm-hmm.
All right, good. So,
hey, a couple things that we wanted to mention first.
Oh, sure.
Coming up, September 11th, big day. What is it?
Oh, it's the Family Fest for Misericordia.
Yeah. You will be appearing. The whole fest goes from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
I'm going to be there at 5.
Lots of stuff going on. Lots of live music, lots of raffles and fun.
There's like a car giveaway. Yeah. It's really a fun family event. So please put that on your list of things to do. Absolutely.
Great with the family. Also, and you're there from 5 to 5:30 on
Correct.
That September 11th doing
right.
a Q&A.
I only like to work a half an hour on Sundays.
I know. Day of rest.
It's a day of rest.
This coming Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, it's been confirmed you are doing another Facebook chat.
Oh, good.
Q&A.
All right. So if you can't get enough questions and answers with me on Saturday mornings, because we always seem to run out of time, join us on Facebook. How do people become like us on Facebook?
You can just type in Lou Manfredini on Facebook in the little Facebook search engine. Your name will pop up. Become a fan of Lou on his page. And then Wednesday night, August 24th from 7 to 8, you are going to answer all those questions that come in live.
Are we giving anything away to people that answer?
No.
Really?
Well, maybe.
Stay tuned.
We'll
figure something out. Maybe somebody will give us something to give you if you ask a question, and then we'll somehow get you information and give you something. I don't know what it is, but we'll do something like that. Also, another fundraiser that's going on with Joe Madden. He's got this deal where they're selling raffle tickets at Misericordia that you can win this tricked-out Jeep Wrangler that the folks at the Fields Auto Group put together. And it is awesome. They're giving out 3,000 tickets, and it's going to raise money not only for Cubs charities, but for Misericordia as well. You can buy the tickets at the Cubs game, and you can also, or at Wrigley Field, rather, you can also buy them at Misericordia. And the ladies are downtown. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Lou.
How are you?
Good. We're just talking about Kathy's new dog.
Kathy got a new dog?
I did.
Well, a middle-aged dog.
No. A middle-aged dog?
An old dog. She's 10. That
wow.
makes sure it's always me, yeah.
Did you save the dog from
the Green Mile? Yeah. Yeah.
Or Tom Hanks comes in and
uh-huh.
says a slow walk.
And then
dead
the
man walking.
Flies come out of your mouth.
Oh,
right.
My gosh.
Yeah. I did. She's a very sweet dog.
Oh, and her name is?
That's not been determined yet.
Oh.
TBD.
Yeah.
But it's a 10-year-old dog.
It's a 10-year-old dog.
Well, weren't we calling the dog something for 10 years?
Well, no. I mean, she was brought up here from a shelter in Kentucky or Tennessee,
okay.
one of those places where you marry your cousin. And
that's Kathy O'Malley at WGNRadio.com.
And I think she's probably not had that great a life.
Oh,
so anyway,
right.
so
well,
she's
nice.
Cautious. She's cautious. So
very
we'll
nice.
Figure it out. Yeah.
Oh, a bone.
She already found a bone. She already found a bone in the yard that had been left by another dog.
Very
really?
Nice.
Yeah, she liked that. Yeah.
Very
so anyway.
Nice. All right. Well, have a great show.
Thank you, Lou. Stay dry.